Hello, thank you for being with us with our New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Rav Lyman. Hello, hello, Nitza. Hello. And you're welcome to be with us. We want to learn how to take our life to a better place, how to build between us new life that will wake up with the great light in our eyes and feel that the people around us are all for us. And we're also like that toward them, how to build our life here in Israel like one big, warm, hugging family. And what does it mean to build our lives as one family? Each show, we take a different aspect of our everyday life, and we want to learn how to reformat it, how to shape it so that it'll be good for everyone. And today we're discussing the principles of education in Jewish culture. We had one program about it, and now we're having another one. Maybe summarize the insights we received from the previous programs that we'll be able to open this discussion from a new place. In the previous program, we understood that actually the process of education is a process that educates a person to be a complete person. And the significance is to love everything that's actually outside of me. And that's the process that this education teaches us step after step. After we learn how to think and behave and feel, it teaches us how to come out of ourselves and love others. And precisely in that place, in that space, is the true life. That's where we truly feel life. We began to speak about the principles, and today we want to speak about the most central principles that no person can study except where his heart is. What is the significance of this principle? We know from our lives that what a person is attracted to, it becomes close to him. It becomes liked by him, and he wants it. And according to his nature, he's getting closer to it more and more. Some people prefer sport, music, literature, dancing. Some are attracted to technical, all kinds of things. A person, what does it mean he studies what his heart wants? He wants to know something that he's attracted to. He wants to be in connection with it. That's called learning. He wants to know what he loves, to be close, to be connected. That's first of all. Therefore, we need to understand that the basis of education is to build in a person a good and correct attitude to values that we want him to acquire. Excuse me. And then he will come in and acquire them on his own. And these values, this inclination, general inclination, that his heart it wants something that is given in society, that is given to society. If a person is in a society where sports is appreciated, then he'll deal with sports, or next to that, or something associated with it, because that's based on that's important in the society's eyes. So it's also important to him because he's influenced by society. If the entire society supports science, then he'll somehow want it, whether he wants to or not, because this is what the environment is demanding, that he'll appreciate it, because he'll always appreciate what his environment appreciates. And this is what he'll be attracted to. So it's really important to make sure, not for the person himself, but his environment. And according to the values that the society defines, then surely the person will want the same things. That is actually that a person doesn't study anything except what his heart wants. So we have to look after the values of society, that same society, We really need to plant a person inside the society, and there he will surely grow in the direction that we know in advance what the direction will be. And that's what exactly what happens in life. Today, because we have so many disturbances and we have all the media and communications, a person is open to the whole world and the whole world is open to him. So there's some kind of confusion in what his heart really wants and how he'll advance and grow up. So if we want a certain kind of education, we need to look after the environment, all the influences on a person, that this certain influence will stand out, will be the controlling influence over a person. How do we truly measure? One of the most spoken subjects is to motivate a child to study. We see that kids don't really have any motivation to go through education. They don't feel that it's important. That's true. So how do we awaken this motivation? How do we make their hearts want it? Society is like that. If he opens TV, if he goes onto the internet, he doesn't see, it doesn't encourage him to study. Things that he needs to study in order to get into the TV or internet and to be there, that he learns quick. Today, any kid with those gadgets, he's in good connection with those things better than the adults. But what does he receive from those channels? That's the question. So until we determine in advance what kind of influences our children are receiving altogether, we will not be able to see them afterward advancing in other good values, the ones that we want. But rather we need to, according with that, we need to see how we build the environment that will give a person a certain kind of general influence that will be important to him, and this will be the opposite of good, and then he'll advance. If I understand what you're saying, the goal of education is to prepare the young person for going out to a successful life. Yes, it depends. In that sentence, there's a lot of obstacles on the way. So let me clear them up. How do you see a person's great exit to life? What do we have to put into him that we'll know we've done our work, we prepared him in the most successful manner to go out to life? That's the foundations that the society must give. Not a person and not a house, because today a person is open to the whole world. But until we don't improve all the environment operating on a person, and that's internet and TV and school and the home and everything, until we make sure that he gets the correct guidance from there, direction, then we can't be sure of anything. Let's say we succeeded and you improved all those channels that you just spoke about, and they're all acting in the most optimal manner. And they came to me and they said, what does it mean at the end of the optimal process that they succeeded in preparing me for going out to life? After an optimal process of education, what does it mean that he was properly prepared? First of all, a person is a result of the environment. The mother gives birth to a little creature, but afterward, what you're given birth to are the conditions around him that influence him. And then in accordance with that, we have to first and foremost be concerned with that, that while he's a youngster, let's say, his childhood, he receives throughout his childhood, he'll receive the right influences in such a manner that he won't be able to escape them, the example he'll receive from there, the behavioral example, conceptual example, that all these examples will give him direction in life in a very clear manner. What is the correct, successful direction in life? That he'll be a beneficial citizen for others. According to those same sentences, don't do to others as you wouldn't want done to you. And it doesn't matter his profession. He must see this as well, that around him there's many people, that each one from the most simplest worker sweeping the street, or a plumber, an engineer, a doctor, a scientist, the prime minister, doesn't matter who. He must see that all the people around him are actually there. Inclination is to be beneficial altogether toward the environment. Why is being beneficial to the environment? In your eyes, that's the best preparation for life. Because first of all, it gives a person security that if he behaves in this manner, then the environment will relate to him in this manner. He'll be appreciated. He'll be successful in his relations with everyone. I'm sure that he won't cause harm to himself with some wild behavior, but rather the good behavior to others is that he'll be beneficial. It will immediately place him in a friendly place in society. He'll always find his place. He'll always find support from the environment. And that's what I need to look after, first of all. The profession is, it's completely marginal. He'll build himself, he'll build the family, he'll receive support from everyone. Like we say to a child that goes out, don't behave badly with others. Don't start hitting people, fighting. Be a good boy. Why? Because the good behavior usually gives a person a feeling of a sense of security and an atmosphere of security, joy in life, participation with others, friends, and in general, the world. This is what we understand from the wisdom of life. And especially in our generation, that is such a global generation where we're dependent on each other more and more, that no one can live by themselves like we could. Once upon a time, we reach in our village, on our farm. What farm do we have now? Today, the interdependence is so great that without arranging good relations between us, we're lost. You gave a great importance to the subject of environment, the educational environment. Every child has something special, something unique, some attribute, some potential, personal potential. How, on the one hand, do you maintain his personal uniqueness? And on the other hand, like you said, the environment influences him in a very significant manner. How do the two things not conflict? You don't need to look after the child and the environment. If we're sure that our child, let's say, went into some good place, we don't worry about him. Of course, good will come out of him. The environment, so you're saying the definition of a good environment is an environment that encourages personal potential and personal development and the development of his capabilities for the good of the general group. There's a principle that we got stuck on here, and it's interesting to ask about. that we saw that studying in the past throughout the generations included many elements of thinking, learning by heart, dialogue, discussing. What's the importance of all those elements in this educational process? Again, it's an absorbing the influence from the environment. On the one hand, I have to behave according to the examples I receive. It's more in a psychological manner that I, the way I look at myself and others, how I check the behavior and learn from them. The little child is a very big expert in this, precisely. They look at us, they truly, they scan us. From this scan, they immediately convey to themselves the formats, see how he behaves, how he sits, how he stands, how he walks around. They take from us each time more and more examples. And this is what they feed off of. Therefore, we need to be concerned about the education of the parents. Usually the parents demand from their kids, you need to do this, you need to do that, but they give a terrible example. Maybe they act the exact opposite, and then it won't help them. This is a repression. But altogether, you want to educate the child, you need to educate yourself, and then don't worry. It will pass on to him. Of course, we're talking about a society where it's all behaving in this manner. In other words, until we don't correct society, we won't be sure that our kids are successful. I want to focus on this principle of learning by heart. The wise one said that when you learn something, you have to go over it again and again, and there's even the well-known sentence that it says that there's no comparison to the person who goes over it 100 times to that who goes over it 101 times. What does that have to do with a person's education as a person? Education is what you get used to. That your habit becomes second nature. Because when we're born in our egoistic nature and we truly we're all looking at the world from the beginning, how to profit and take advantage of others. We need to format ourselves in a new way, in a different way, in opposition to our original nature. And therefore, when a person sees examples all the time and repeats them because society demands and that's how they accept him, well, therefore, whoever understands these examples, whoever feels them, whoever gradually absorbs them, he will be more successful. Therefore, here we see that this repetition is actually a salvation. You mean it's acquiring habits, development of habits, until they become our second nature. We want to talk a little bit about the very wide subject of learning in a group, in chevruta. It's based on the same principle that I learn from the group. Chevruta is not just me and another person, but in general, from this little group, that I become an inseparate part of the group, and then I continue what each of us sees around us in the environment. And this is how I'm absorbed there. And I'm a result of this environment. We see that if we're educating a child from a young age, he won't be able to leave it for his throughout his life. That's clear. Educate a child in his way. So actually, the definition of a group is it's necessary for the need to transform a child into a complete person. How does it contribute to him? That he looks at each one and learns from him? It has to guide him. An environment has to guide him all the time. That's why, again, I'm emphasizing we have to look after the entire society and not the person himself. The person himself must have less pressure, but we only need to awaken in him this criticism of himself, this verification. Look, try. Maybe you're missing some sensitivity to see, to verify things. But when he's in an environment, he's in the environment's hands completely, without any free choice. What kind of interaction is created in a certain group that is going through some educational environment? They help each other. They learn from examples. If someone makes a mistake, they can all see that this brings me to a mistake. And the opposite. And from these things, we succeed, that we surely are interested in raising society up and looking after its values. There's no, how can we put it? There's no work, personal work here toward someone, but only toward the entire society. It's very interesting. Wait, this we need to explain a little bit. I didn't understand. It's an approach, it's a general approach toward the environment, society, the people, that being successful, we need to actually look after everyone. Everyone. Otherwise, no. Otherwise, we will never succeed. With this approach, we suddenly see that placing the people under the correct education is actually the key to everything. It opens up everything. We don't have any choice except the environment we choose. We're a result of the environment. And I can only look after my child by deciding which environment they'll be in. And in that, all of education begins and ends. I would like you to extend the explanation about learning in a group, because I can learn by myself also. The wise ones emphasized all the time that either you learn in a group or you're dead. It's simple. What does it come to say? It means a person cannot be alone. A person cannot be alone. He must always be in an education that he's feeding off of. That is, otherwise you fall from the degree you need to reach of being a human, beneficial, loving, looking after the surroundings. If you're alone, then you're under your inner egoistic urges, and that's it. Who's educating you? Either your ego, your inner nature, or the society, the good society, corrected society from the outside, one or the other. Meaning if you're under your private urges, this is a type of death. And if you're actually in some kind of education, general social education, then that's where life is. Yes, correct. Now, another law that they say here, you emphasized before, is chevruta. You shouldn't just look at it as a team of studiers, people studying together, but rather a group that's going through some process together. It's a little environment that's close to him. So I would like us to get deeper into the processes and interactions that take place in such a group that begins to go through the educational process. They say that you said that the entire Torah is directing to one place of educating a person above his natural urges, to be inside himself and take advantage of everything for his own sake, toward love thy neighbor as thyself, which is the greatest law in the Torah, to come out of himself and love everything. Now the wise ones say to us, the Torah cannot be bought except in a group, like you said. Why can the Torah only be bought in a group? Why the option of becoming a complete person to fulfill my full potential, become a complete man? Why can it only happen in a group? First of all, we need to emphasize again what Torah is. Torah is the Torah of life. That's the law, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the entire Torah. So, or don't do unto your friend what you would want done to yourself. Go and learn. And everything else is just definitions of that same sentence. How to not hate your fellow man is not don't do to others as you want one done to yourself. And the next stage, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the entire Torah. That's a law. There's nothing else. In this sentence, the sentence includes everything. Now, if we understand things in this manner, then there's nothing for us to deal with throughout life except to build people according to those laws. And here we need to look and see which society is concerned with it. Is there a certain society dealing with it or not? When we look around us, we don't discover, say, in our time, any society or part of society, Israeli society, that is truly making it a goal. Unfortunately, I don't have anywhere to put my child in where he will grow up in the correct manner that I think is correct. Just like the Torah, the truthful Torah demands. And if, yes, then if that's the case, then I have to build an environment by myself. And you'll build a gang? Yes. And why can the Torah only be bought through a gang? Because the surroundings build the person. But what will cause your child to switch from an individual approach to love of others? By example. That this example will be shown inside the environment. So let me show you something and tell me why it doesn't work. I want to understand what it says behind the sentence, that the Torah is bought in the group. I understand that education takes me out of my narrow egoistic approach to an approach of love of others. That's the entire Torah, correct? So let's say that I will take my son and I'll work with him about his perception, his attitude, just him on his own. That's not enough. Why not? If he goes through a personal process of development where he will go from a love of self to love of others, it won't happen, only in a group. Why? Because a person learns from those that are similar to him. He doesn't learn from his father. His mother, his father, the behavior at home, those examples, they're very limited examples. So let's take a private teacher for him. No, it has to be the same kids, a little bigger, and like him, that precisely from them he learns, and that will be the group. Why? Why can the group can take a person from a private approach to looking outward, and a teacher that is a smart and developed person can't take him through this process from inside, from to outside? What is the magic of the group, even if you bring the best teacher in the world? Because only with the people that are similar to him, he can behave in a manner that the teacher is teaching them. What does that mean? He can't behave like a friend with a teacher in his behavior, with the behavior that the teacher is penetrating to him. That's not the studying. The studying is that I connect with myself to people that are similar to me, and along with them, I myself, I'm in society. A teacher is not society. A parent is not society. It's something above me. The previous generation, people that I can't make an accounting with them, that I can say that I'm in connection with. I don't connect with my father, teacher. They are something that I don't attain. There's something that's not in my perception who they are. A child that hears from some big person, this big person, for him, it's not a human being. It's something unattainable, high up. He doesn't understand it. He hears, but It's all from from above. The correct behavior I can only adopt from the friends. Doesn't matter if it's correct or not correct, I absorb it from my friends. Only those that are similar to me. If they're a year or two maximum years older than me, a person grasps from his degree and 2 degrees higher, and after that, he can't. Not beyond the third degree. 3 steps, there's myself, a year bigger than me and 2 years bigger than me, that's the limit. Not more. This is how we're built. If I understand correctly, the goal of studying in a group is to get a person away from his private perception to a general perception. Yes, that he'll feel that the entire world belongs to him. Just like he feels himself, he'll feel the world. That's the goal. That he'll feel himself like he feels the whole world. And don't do to others like you wouldn't want done to you. It's all being compared, that there's no difference between me and the world, that the entire world has felt like me. So what is the role of the teacher? There's a group. I understand that all the practical parts between the friends, and there's still the educator. What is the educator's role to the group? How does it come about? The role of the educator toward the group is to shape them, to bring them together, to shape them. What does it mean to shape them? To decide which shape this group has to exist, behave. This he can penetrate into the group. But each and every one learns from his friends. The educator is something high up. The educator is something high up. He brings this group a Torah of behavior, a code of behavior. And the group that implements this form of behavior, they give each one of the friends in the group to be integrated, to absorb it, and to adopt it for everyone. According to the approach that you're describing here, I understand that implementing the Torah according to the Jewish perspective is to create an upper awareness in how I relate to the world. Since the Torah is the upper brain, then a person cannot acquire it except inside a group, only inside a group. What is the upper brain? That same group, if it has a teacher, that he himself is smart and a complete person, what kind of achievements can he lead them to that a private person can't? What will be that upper force, upper awareness, that they'll succeed with the correct direction, education, to feel the rest of the group? Even though an educator knows everything, until he doesn't shape the group according to his traditions, according to his rules, you can't even say that it's clear what he's talking about. He needs to always correct them, until he builds between them the correct relations. It's as if you have small, single, egoists, like little dolls, and you're standing them in a certain circle, and between these dolls, you begin to organize a new form of relations, and you're always correcting this form, and one is always learning from the other what's good, what's bad, how to behave, how not to behave, etc., until the network is created between them, a new network and consideration and even loving one another. What is the significance of building a network of connection between them? That's a complete creation that we need to take. Let's say we take 10 children and begin to build a group out of them. That the behavior in it is according to the rules of love, consideration, the law of love of consideration. At the beginning, they don't know, but through games and through examples, through reading certain things, working on it practically, the implementation of all kinds of sentences and rules, we gradually give them. A person needs to feel it. So it's not for nothing that he hears some rules. He needs to go through it. He needs to live it. And if throughout hours and years he goes through, goes over those same laws, well, that's why it's important to repeat it. Because at each and every degree, the changes that go through him, he needs to go over those laws and adopt them in a new way each time. And also in connection with others. The teacher here is the external shaper only. And the people implementing it are the kids. They themselves do it. Bringing them principles, but implementing, they need to do it themselves between them. They're taught by a big person, but they need to do it themselves. And then the expertise of the teacher, he is that he knows how to shape this environment in the correct manner. Let's say in an imaginary way, I imagine a group of 10 kids that haven't gone through love of others, the integral education. I imagine in another room a group of 10 kids that are already going through a process of integral education. Here you say they'll gradually get some network of connections between them, some new connection. What's the difference? They will be as one. What do you mean as one? They will support one another. They will always be friendly. They always understood one another. Their inclination will be that all together there will be an atmosphere, a single atmosphere, single thought, desire, inclination, they will be the same. And in that, they will be very strong. They achieved understanding and feeling from others. If I'm integrated in everyone and I'm connected to everyone, then I feel and see and hear and understand what everyone's thinking and feeling. In other words, I become times 10 in a group of 10. I acquire the brain and feelings of everyone. That's called growing. I grow in that not only by acquiring brains and feelings from them. In this connection with them, I learn how to be objective, to not be dependent on myself, how to be a person that sees reality as it is and not as I saw it before when I was an egoist. I get out of my perception of the world from what I am and begin to grasp the world in a manner that's not dependent on me, how the world looks. And then I see a completely different world that none of the other people see. I see connections between everyone. I see how nature, that the world is the nature outside of me, what it is, what this nature is. And not that now I see just myself, how the external nature is going through my narrow perception, and then I see it as this world, like we see it now. Truly, in that I change my vessels of absorption. I begin to see a network of connection between the entire world, between all the elements making up the world. And from this network, I begin to see and understand the wisdom of nature. I begin to see laws that are operating everything. I begin to be wise, the general, wise in a general manner, that all this power that's operating in nature begins to be clear to me. The trend, what to do with my life, with myself, I begin in a natural manner, instinctively, in a new manner that I acquired these new instincts, this second nature, I begin to behave in a different manner. Correct, that it would be very different from people that didn't achieve these characteristics and attitude toward nature, but I will have a big profit here. And that's called acquiring an upper brain, like Oren asked before? Yes. Now, on the way to acquiring this upper brain, you said that if I look at this group of children that's going through these special interactions on the way toward acquiring the upper brain, I'll see them as one. You described them before. What will be special about it compared to another group of 10 kids? You'll say this group, where they began this integral process, you'll see 10 kids that are as one. That's the expression you said before. Each one will be different, though. Each one will be different. Each one will attempt to implement his character for the good of the group as much as he's capable. I'm capable of drawing. I play an instrument. She sings. And then each one with his nature will influence naturally, and he'll add to everyone. And then the society will be so rich. Each one will acquire from others everything that everyone can contribute. So in what will they be one? In the connection above the gaps, above the different attributes, they will be as one. That there are a few things here. Each one acquires from others the way they look at things, the understanding and the feelings and everything. Each one gets rich from others. It's not for nothing that I enjoy him contributing or him contributing, but rather I begin to connect with his inner attributes. I begin to understand him, how he relates to life. And apart from that, when we connect in mutual help, then we build something that's called one, a common feeling, a common brain, which is the rule of our society. And inside this common brain and heart, we begin to feel a power that activates all of nature. Because actually, we rose above our ego, and we began in that to feel our fellow man. Through feeling our fellow man, that each of us comes out of ourselves and is integrated in others, in that we received a new sense, a sense that's above our nature. And then, when we feel this general mutual influence, in that we are beginning to feel the general power of bestowal that exists everywhere, because all of energy, all the plan of nature that's developing and living and exists, it comes from that same force of bestowal. Therefore, everything exists and everything develops. And then we begin to feel this force. You can call it nature, God. But that's what we acquire. We begin to connect to the upper force. We begin to understand, to feel what's really happening around us. What does it give that same child in life? We said the goal of education is to prepare a child in the most optimal manner to go out to life, a child that is part of such a group that will reach all those attainments that you spoke of. When he comes out to life compared to another child, what will he get? He'll always succeed. He'll be successful because he now is discovering that same force that's supervising and managing and leading everything. Because we see that we're advancing and we don't know where we're advancing to, that we're in some crisis, we don't know where it's coming from, that a solution, we don't know what solution to give, how we go from one state to another, what will happen in another minute, we don't know anything, we're managed. But we're so blind that we don't even discover it. We live. There's some kind of, at our level, there's an ability to say, I'll behave like this, so apparently I'll receive like this. We build this artificial society with these laws that we define for ourselves so that it would be easier for us somehow to behave in the darkness. But in general, we don't know anything about ourselves. Who am I? What am I? What will happen to me? What do I live for? Until when? What happens beyond this life? And that same child will know all this? Yes, because he'll discover the general force. For him, his whole way of life will be revealed ahead of him from here until eternity without any limit. He'll see life. He'll see nature above our nature, this upper force that will reveal the force of bestowal and level that he has in him. So he'll discover that he's in a world that's entirely different. A world that is controlled by one force and how everything works. And then he'll know his destiny. He'll know in this life. He'll know life beyond this life. Everything will be open in front of him. It sounds very high up, insights, like a philosophical way of looking at life outlook. In what way will he be prepared for life? I'm talking about it in a very practical manner, because the lack of answers to these questions bring us truly to life that there's no need for. Look what's happening with the whole world. Look at the depression. Look at the drug abuse, just to disconnect from this life. Look at all the suicides, the terror, the murder, the relations between people. And it stems from a lack of understanding why we are living. And in our life, we don't discover why to live. We just enjoy this moment, and the next moment, who knows what will happen. This perspective that's open to a person, he sees the world from one end to the other. It already puts him in a mature manner, in a very solid way into life. You can talk to him. He doesn't live from today to tomorrow. God knows what will happen tomorrow. Now we're going into a period, and nature is purposely, that upper force, that general force of nature that manages everything, is purposely managing us, advancing us in such a way that we'll be more and more, that we lose ourselves in this life. So on purpose, that we'll discover this general trend, that we will know. Because we're not the main characteristic, I would say, if I look at adults, the main characteristic of life is uncertainty. Because from year to year, the uncertainty is growing. As a result of this, you don't know what will happen in anything, in your family, health, business, nothing. And as a result, the fears are rising, anxiety. A child that acquires this new look, way of looking at things, or this process, his goal in life, etc. What will it do to his life regarding certainty and uncertainty? A person is happy. He's calm. He understands that nothing ends, that the flow of life continues in all sorts of forms. He sees a world that is not acting according to egoistic forces in his 70 years that he's alive, but that he continues onward, that he gets rid of his ego, either through death or as he is, through this new learning, studying and self-change. And then he goes out above this life. He rises up to another dimension of life. He begins to live a life not in the limits of time, place, movement, good, bad, that we have in life. He sees perspective. It's a different person. If you took Einstein and put him in such a group, would he reach greater achievements, different achievements, less achievements? What would have happened with him? Nothing. Nothing would have happened. The same thing, he would have come out exactly, Einstein, like the all, he would have come out like the other kids. So he wouldn't have become Einstein, he would have become like the other kids in the same group, because this group, this new group, what we're talking about, it deals with changing a person. Einstein didn't deal with it, that he didn't change himself. He was just smart. He had a special scientific approach, and that's it. And he was a little bit different. He didn't learn properly in school. His teacher, in a sketch and in geography and sketching, they saw he had a special attitude, his perception of the world, his perception, not that we're talking about, but his perception of sketching, his perception of drawing. And then they began to recommend all kinds of things to him. And then he began to understand what they want from him in all these professions in school. He wasn't successful. He wouldn't study so well, but he had a special perception, but not spiritual, above the ego, etc., and love of his fellow man. No, but rather a scientific perception, a wider perception. I want to ask another question, and this also brought him to closer to love thy neighbor as thyself. He wrote about it a lot. Truly, this place of this education that you're talking about, alongside this learning and this wisdom that Einstein represents, he represents some human wisdom. So in that place of education that you're talking about, is there also place for this wisdom that comes from a place of intelligence? That's clear. A person that begins to deal with connecting with others, first of all, there's the wisdom of this connection that is truly the wisdom of the new environment, of the society, a global wisdom he begins to understand. He begins to see how all the parts and elements in our world are made on their own, and how they, between them, make up something much greater. He begins to identify the network of connection between everything. And so he becomes smarter, but he will discover all kinds of new laws. But that's not the main thing. We see that science is also in a crisis. So we'll discover something else. But it doesn't bring us, because of our nature, any bonus. Even though we produce so much, today we have medicine that can knock out all the bad in the world in our body, but they don't sell them to us because they hold on to what's profitable for them to sell. The world doesn't act according to what's good for people, but rather what's good for the people holding the reins. Therefore, we see all the time a descent, not an ascent. So that same little group of kids that will go through the correct educational process, actually you're saying they need to create a new world that works with new rules, a different outlook of life to society. And so now I have another question. And one of the foundations in Jewish culture that's considered an educational principle is the idea of conflict. You say they keep their unique attributes. It's known that the wise ones had two kinds of arguments. Which one advances us and is desired in the group, and which one is destructive and not wanted in the group? If we are different, but the principles of education is unity and connection. Then to the extent that we're different, in that we can add colors. We can add all kinds of verifications, new aspects. And therefore, every dispute that there was between the wise ones, it wouldn't destroy one another, it would add to each other. And then if we look at the same principle of connection, and if we look at his look and his look and his look, then we see that connection becomes varied and more complete, because each person is built in a different manner. And if each person looks from his personal attributes toward the connection, then we reach one power to one brain, which is the image of one complete person. That's what we're putting together. And in that way, we're all different. Just like the cells in our body, each cell acts for the good of the connection of the body. And then the body is healthy. Therefore, a dispute, not a dispute, but rather how I, from my side, carry out that same principle, which is the foundation of all nature, with my attributes and with everything I was born with. And that is a dispute that builds us. This is a dispute that makes us thrive, that foundation, that principle. Maybe a principle before we finish. There's a very nice sentence. I learned a lot from my rabbis, more from my friends, and even more from my students. That's the answer to his question, why a child doesn't learn from his teacher. He only learns from those equal to him, from his peers. And if we want him to grow even more, then he also needs to go into education himself. You mean to teach? Yes, to be a teacher. And then let's say, like I said, those 3 degrees, that at the age of 10, I learned the best from the age of 10, 11, and 12. And after that, no, I don't grasp anymore. My brain doesn't go up, cannot attain something that is more than 2 years ahead of me. I no longer grasp them as children. They're like big people. So I need to grasp from whoever is equal to me or a year or two older, and the best is if I also teach someone. Why is that good? Because then I know how to implement these things on others. And then I become influencing to them. And then I learn from teaching, then I learn myself. Until I don't teach others, I don't learn myself. I'm still not complete. A person has to receive from the upper one, from the teacher, and give to those beneath him, his students. And in this manner, there's a flow of education. And therefore, we need to teach them how to teach. And in that, precisely, they will attain this wisdom of connection, because they will see it on the lower ones, they'll manage them, the little ones, they'll manage them, and of course it will be with our force, and then they will understand a person's spirit and how you need to relate to others. This gives them perfection throughout society, and it's very important, and therefore we need to see at each age and age also the means for reaching smaller ages. Our time has come to an end. I would like to do one sentence for a summary. What's your impressions? I think, first of all, the summary that you just gave explained really well. This whole subject of the education of a person goes through some stages. There's the stage of receiving from my teacher, something higher than me, to absorb some principles, to implement it, to realize it through my friends who are actually at my level, to change through that, to acquire their perspective, each of theirs, and then pass it on to a level that is lower than me, and that actually creates a perfection. Until a person doesn't acquire those three levels, he himself, above him and below him, he's still not a man. Present, future, and past. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Our time is up. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you. The present, past, and future, we will be a complete person together. New life, and all the best until next time.